Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Ready or Not.
Oh, man, did we.
Yeah.
So, at midnight, you have to play a game.
Why?
It's just something we do when someone new joins the family.
A game. What game? Hide and seek? Are we really going to play that?
Well, the rules are simple. You can hide anywhere. We then try to find you.
So there's no way for me to win, right?
I mean, stay hidden till dawn.
No, thank you.
Good luck.
Ah, we sure as hell did.
We sure as hell did. Two questions, Tom, two questions.
Yeah.
Did yours come with a short film before it?
No.
Okay. At the Arclight, they put a little short film before it, which was, it was nice.
Oh. What was the short film?
I forget what it was called. It was 6 minute short, and I don't want to just describe it, but it was quite good.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Was it by the directors, or was it just like an incidental short film?
I don't think so. I think it was, it was a similar tone, but it wasn't by the directors.
Okay.
I don't think. Tom, what did you think of Ready or Not?
I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I was actually asking because the two directors directed Southbound and they directed a segment of VHS.
Yes. Have you seen Southbound?
No, I wanted to.
It's extremely good. I'm going to just say to everybody, go watch Southbound. It's an it's technically an anthology as well, but it's all kind of tied together. And I really enjoyed it. It's not perfect, but it's, I'm glad, like, knowing it was those directors made me more excited for seeing this.
Mm-hmm. And they directed the final segment of VHS where the kids in Halloween costumes go into the haunted house.
Yeah, I think these guys have a bright future ahead of them.
Yeah, this was a fun movie.
This was really fun. I'm glad this movie exists because it helps me make a distinction between something that I've complained about in the past, which was movies like Crawl and Dead Silence, I think it was called, where it feels like they're battling the screenwriter, where it's like, how hard is it to get out of a house kind of deal?
Yeah.
This isn't any different, technically speaking. The difference is it's way more fun, and they do all the things that you would want to do, if that makes sense.
She's still impeded every time she tries to escape, but she does all of the things that you would think to do. Like, there wasn't a crawl moment where you were like, well, why don't they just break through the lattice, or why don't they just chop through the floor? Like, she does that.
Yeah, she tries everything.
Like, she rips through a wrought iron fence.
Yeah, she's desperate. She's
and
desperate.
And cuts her back to shit.
Yeah, she squeezes out. She's like a caged animal. And there are moments where it's like the screenwriter is just being a dick. But a lot of those moments, they didn't have to do. Like, for example, when she goes through the chain link, the iron fence, like, she doesn't have to encounter a car on the road, but they do it anyway, and they just make the car a dickhead.
Right. It's some rich dickhead. Like, you don't really see the guy, but you hear his voice, so you can assume it's like a car full of shitty teens or young men in just this, they're like super rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
So she's just like, fucking rich people.
Yeah, she goes into a string of expletives. She was great too.
Yeah,
she was a lot of fun.
Samara Weaving, who is Hugo Weaving's niece.
Really?
Yeah.
She, okay, that makes sense.
You can see a bit of
the
Weaving.
Yeah, you can see it. She's
face.
A little haunting. Yeah. She's a little haunting.
She could be a very sinister computer program or a very sinister elf.
Yes. One or the other. Nothing in between.
Yeah, she was great. Adam Brody was really fun.
Which one's Adam Brody?
Adam Brody was the drunk brother.
Oh, he was terrific.
And it was Andy McDowell plays the mom.
Andy McDowell is fucking great, yeah.
Yeah, and Henry Cerny is the dad.
Yeah.
It was an awesome cast.
It's a great cast because that's...
go ahead.
Oh, that's like half of what made the film for me, I think.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple of moments where it's like, man, you guys don't need to be trying as hard as you are for this movie, but like they are.
But they are, and therefore it's very memorable. Like I even really like what they did with the premise, because the premise, like in the trailer, you see that she's just gotten married, and they and there's a weird family. She's married to a board game. A tycoon family.
She's marrying into Parker Brothers family, essentially.
Yeah. And they tell her that she has to play a game at midnight, and they go through this story of their like grandfather or great grandfather.
Their great grandfather, yeah.
On a ship, and meeting a man who gives them this box, and basically, like, it's a creepy story, but you're not exactly sure what it is.
Yeah.
And it basically. They honor this man by playing these games, and she picks hide and seek, which they are all kind of like her new husband is the groom is like bummed about. And they already kind of allude to, I mean, they start with the flashback of them playing hide and seek, and we've seen the trailer. So we know exactly what it means, but I liked how they did it where the idea was that there was other games to play and none of them were lethal. It was just hide and seek.
It was hide and seek's the only one, and it they haven't drawn it in decades. Nobody wanted to draw it.
Like, right. Yeah, but they have to do it.
Right.
And at first, like, you see in the trailer where I just assumed this was going to be like a crazy rich family, like the Purge style.
Yeah.
But the reveal is perfect. Because the reveal is that this man on the boat was clearly the devil.
Yeah.
And their grandfather made a deal with the devil for success. And in exchange, they have to do this. And that's why the family is like, no one really wants to do it. And that's why they're all kind of like sarcastic and like not really into it. But they have to do it or else they'll die. At least that's what they think.
They'll die. I love that they never say the devil until almost the very end.
Yeah, when they finally say Hail Satan.
Finally says Hail Satan. Yeah.
Yeah, what's like, the guy's name?
Huh?
What's the guy's name that they keep talking about? The grandfather.
Mr. Lou Bale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they like you that's what was great is they don't have a big reveal, but you slowly, before they say Hail Satan, you figure it out, you know?
And they never explicitly say that's what the bargain was, but it's clear what the bargain was.
Yeah, it's pretty like, clear. And
they made a bargain for success.
Yeah, and they've been blessed. And they just have to do this one thing.
I love that at the end, the devil briefly appears and nods to her.
Yes. Yes, that is amazing. Because the devil, the rules are the rules.
And what does she say? She says, like, fuck.
Yeah. There's a couple moments like that are terrific. I think there's a part where, like, because they clearly...
Oh, my God.
There was clearly one thing the writers wanted from this.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted it to end with a woman dressed as a bride covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they definitely like they're clearly inspired inspired by Evil Dead, because they knew they like there's a moment where she and one of the many things she does that I'm like, yes, I would do that. She goes back into the family room and grabs a gun, and she's wearing sneakers, a cut off wedding dress, and holding a shotgun, and
it's
looks
an
at
elephant
her,
gun.
Elephant gun, and looks at herself in the mirror and just goes, Jesus. So they knew exactly how much fun they were having with this.
Yeah, and I'm sure you mentioned Evil Dead. I'm sure that's part of how she got cast, because she's been in a lot of horror movies, and she was a guest star in the end of the first season of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, really?
Where she just gets pummeled in the cabin.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Do you remember? Did you see the first season?
Of Ash vs. Evil Dead? Yeah, it's been a while.
She's one of the three hitchhikers, or hikers that they pick up.
And
she gets inside the cabin, and she gets like beat to shit.
Okay,
so
cool.
It's like clear, like, because this movie, she gets beat to shit.
Yes, and again, she's trying her hardest.
Yeah,
and she does everything she can. She gets her hand stabbed. She gets.
Oh man!
Yeah.
When she puts a nail through it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of those moments where it's like this could have easily been done in a way that was frustrating. But
yeah.
they but it reveals stuff. Is basically she gets out of the house, which was the first surprising. That was the moment I was like, oh, okay. So there,
she gets out of the house in Act Two.
Yeah, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's like, wow, she got out immediately.
Yeah. But they do a thing where she's on it's a large property and there's gates. And so she runs and hides in a barn. And then one of the children confronts her.
Oh my God.
So
shitty
good.
Little kid.
The shitty little kid, and shoots her through the hand. And then she immediately
she punches him right in the face.
Punches the kid in the face. Oh, it's so good. And then she gets scared by a goat because it's a goat farm. And she falls in a trap door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just filled with dead goats and corpses. And so you realize, like, oh, they've been sacrificing goats.
Yeah. Yeah, and the groom briefly mentions it later, where he's like, you know, I realized it was I suddenly had the realization that as we were chanting and slitting goats' throats, that maybe this isn't normal.
Yeah. So they do a thing where she has to climb a ladder out, and the ladder's rickety as shit, and it breaks, and then she's holding on with her good hand, and with her bad hand, swings her hand back up, and it impales it on a nail.
Well, the nail, it's the flat side.
Oh,
of the
it
nail.
Is,
the,
you're right.
The nail goes through the hole in her hand.
Right, right. Oh, it's so good.
So she's basically nailed to the top of this thing for a minute.
And
it's nuts.
It's nuts. And this is what I'm, like, it is what we're watching right now is the writers just, you know, buying time, basically.
Yeah.
To keep her in this area, but they're doing it in such a incredible way that's fun to watch that you don't care. Like, for me, it was weird because I was like, I want her to stay because the longer she's here,
mm-hmm.
the more the movie can go and the more crazy shit can happen.
Right, the more fun we're gonna have. And I love that, like, none of the family is good at this because it hasn't happened in decades.
Oh my God, the tweaker woman.
The sister.
Yeah, the sister.
She's so fucking hot.
Kills two maids.
Yep.
That's the stuff, because again, they knew, like I like The Purge, the first Purge, but they knew that they shouldn't be serious like that. They knew it was like, okay, let's have fun. Let's make this a lot of fun. And they have the guy with the crossbow. I think you see it in the trailer, like he's Googling how to use the crossbow.
Yeah.
And then later Googles packed with Satan.
Real or bullshit.
And then he starts,
they introduce this, it's a sister's husband, his name is Fitch, and they introduce him where he's like this queef, like he shows up, like, oh, sorry, we're late, like,
right,
like, we just had to wait a long time for the chartered plane. It's like, oh, and I don't know about you, but I can't fly commercial anymore. But then, like, he becomes one of the funniest characters in the movie. Like, he's just sitting there when she's climbing out of the window behind him. He's sitting there texting with his friend, and it's just like stupid nonsense.
Yeah, he's like, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Nothing. Family stuff.
Family shit."
He's it's so good.
And like when the sister kills another maid, he's like, ah, man, maybe we can find the third one to clean this shit up.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because there's only one maid left.
And then the final maid is hiding.
Yeah.
For her life, and then gets accidentally decapitated. They knew that we all knew what the score was, more or less. They knew that she's either going to make it out or not. And they better have a damn good reason if they kill her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because normally in a movie like this, it would be so unrewarding if that was the case. So they clearly were like, what do we do in the meantime? And and the answer was fucking great.
Yeah.
It was like, let's give everybody everything to do. This sister, why not make her a cokehead? Like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Why not make them keep accidentally killing maids? Why not make this other guy a jackass?
Yeah, why not make her kids these shitty idiots?
Yeah. And they just have so much fun with that. Little things. Like when she's in the kitchen and the butler guy is making tea. Another guy who they give
Right. He's like super into the 1812 overture.
Yes. And he's like humming it, and they show that he does it loudly so much that he can't hear anything, which comes back.
When he tranks her and is driving her back into the family estate, and he's FaceTiming with the whole family, like, yeah, I got her. And then he cranks his music up, and it's the 1812 overture again, and he's just like getting so into it. And the family can see that, like, she's woken up behind him and is like gearing up to kick him in the head, and they're like, turn the music down, like they're trying to get his attention.
And it works so well because at that point he's been like scalded and beat up, and
when he walks in and like Adam Brody looks at him, he's like, Jesus.
Yeah. So they give him this reason to like feel like he's had a win when he's in the car.
Yeah.
Like it all, that's the thing. Everything that happens feels like it naturally just occurs, like without being forced. Mm-hmm. Like everything sort of goes into the next thing pretty easily. Like I can't think of a moment, and maybe there is, but I had too much fun. But I can't think of a moment where I'm like, well, why did that happen? Why did that person do that? Like everything more or less seems to fit all the characters who are trying their best.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't give a shit. Like the brother sees her in the room and he's just like, he's drinking and he's like, I have to tell them you're in here. I'm going to give you 10 second head start.
I like that they play with that because they show that in the beginning where the brother stuffs the younger brother into a cabinet so he doesn't have to see what's happening. And then the guy comes to him, he's already been shot, and he's like, you have to help me get out of here. And he does the same thing where he calls his family. Even though it's clear he doesn't really want to, and he's trying to protect his younger brother from it. And then so like later, like that's kind of his arc as an adult.
Right. He's kind of the most heroic of the family, right?
He is.
Yeah.
He's the only one that does a heroic thing. Like, he legitimately tries to save her.
Yeah, because spoilers, the groom does not.
No, he turns bad. And they set it up, too. Like,
they do,
you know,
don't
he's
they?
Going to, yeah.
Because, it's sort of, because he does turn. Like, he doesn't want to do it at first.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep talking about, like, it's his destiny. He's supposed to lead this family.
Yeah.
But
they point out twice, like she, Grace is the main character's name. She says it to him, and then Andy McDowell, his mom, says it to him later, where it's like, if you really didn't believe in this and you really didn't wanted to protect her from this, you would never have brought her here in the first place.
Right. And like, yeah, he would have never done the card, you know?
Like, without it, had he not done the turn at the end, that would have been, like, the biggest plot hole in the movie. It would have been, like, why on earth did he bring his fiancée
right,
here when he knew that this was on the table?
Yeah, because he is kind of unforgivable from the start. And they do a lot. They do a lot to make you think that they're going to forgive him. And mm-hmm. that was probably the weakest part of the movie up until the turn, because they do these moments where he's like, I'm so sorry. And she's just sort of like they almost reconcile a couple times. And it's
almost.
Like,
she's kind of too shocked to do anything, but be like,
but it's that fear. You're watching the movie and you're constantly afraid, like, oh, they better not reconcile ever.
Oh yeah. That
this better
sucked.
Not end with them kissing outside.
No,
you know?
Fuck that. This guy's trash.
Yeah. And so it was like, where do you go from there? And it's like, oh, you make him a fucking bad guy. Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love them talking about tradition. Because it's like rich people trying to honor tradition. Mm-hmm. And they don't even know why they're doing it anymore.
That was such a fun scene.
They debate.
Like, well, it wasn't tradition that he didn't use cameras. They didn't exist back then.
Yeah, they debate whether or not to turn on the security cameras.
Yeah.
And then
when at first, like, he's very like, oh no, we never use the cameras because we're very traditional. And at this point, he's like, fuck it, turn the cameras on.
And what I loved about that, someone suggests, well, why don't we get out the masks? At the beginning, this flashback scene, they're wearing horrifying masks.
That was probably the hardest I laughed in the movie.
What does he say? He just says, it was the 80s.
When he's like, oh, that was Dad's idea. It was the 80s.
It was the 80s.
Yeah, because in the beginning they're just wearing these creepy ass masks, and I love that that was the explanation. Yeah. Like, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s, man. That's so perfect.
It's like, there's something so funny to me about shitty evil.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well,
like,
here,
where they're all evil, but they suck at it, and they're not like particularly. It's just it's so fucking funny.
I think it's because I don't know why it's because I think that a lot of famously evil people are shitty. Like that's kind of the more you learn like about famous dictators, mm-hmm. like you realize they're just kind of narcissists and they just kind of are losers. Who had power. So I feel like there's something cathartic about showing the murderer as not like, look how cool and scary they are. It's like, no, fuck these people. Like, fuck these murderers. They suck.
Yeah, I love like the idea of taking something that's like a creepy trope like that, like a creepy ass mural or something in the house, and then having the explanation be like, oh, I don't know, man, I was really high when I painted that. Like, it's just like such a
oh, it's perfect.
Just these, just like, yeah, they're evil, but they're also just like these shitty dickweeds.
Yeah,
like they're just these clowns.
It's almost meta, but it's not. It reminds me, for obvious reasons, it reminds me of Your Next in a lot of places. I mean, it's a different premise.
And Your Next is fun and has some humor in it, but it's pretty serious.
Yeah, but
For the most part, it's more serious than it's. I would classify Your Next as a horror thriller movie that has some funny parts in it, where this movie is just a straight up horror comedy.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think what it is Your Next isn't overtly funny, but the premise is hilarious. And where it goes is hilarious, because the realization of like, oh no, she can just kick all their asses.
Right, yeah, she's just gonna kill all of you.
Yeah, and that's terrific. And this kind of has that too, which, and I think part of it is the genre, like movies like Funny Games and The Purge and all the home invasion ones, they tend to be very frustrating movies because it's a person trapped, and like the it's designed where they're being, you know, the screenwriters.
Right. How hard is it to break a window?
Yeah. Where it's like they're fighting the screenwriter. And I think it's very cathartic when a movie like this comes along that's just like, you know what, let's laugh at these jackasses and watch them just, well, literally explode, which we haven't gotten to yet.
Nope.
I'm conflicted about the ending.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because it was great, but I loved the fake out and what that would have meant. Because the idea is that she...
Right, that would have been such a... Like, where they... Yeah. It's like the ending you pitched for Midsommar, where it's they just have to be like,
What is this real awkward after?
You want to go to brunch?
Right, I would love that because... Yeah, basically what the ending is that they finally get her on the table and they got the knife. And I really appreciate it because she gets rescued at first. But then they put her in a situation where it's completely on her. And I liked that. I liked that she had no one to jump in and rescue her at the end. So she like moves and they stab her in the shoulder.
She
instead.
Takes the knife in the shoulder. Yeah. And then she has the knife. She has the knife.
Yeah. And she's like pointing at everybody. No one knows what to do. And the grandmother.
It's the aunt. It's Henry Cerny's sister.
Okay. She opens the windows and they're like, oh God, it's the sun. Because the idea is they have to kill her before the sunrise or else they'll all die.
Yeah, kill her before dawn. Dead by dawn.
And the sun shows up and they all flinch like they're vampires. And then nothing happens.
fucking Fitch. He's like clutching his heart and then he's like, nothing. It's all bullshit. See, I told you it was bullshit. So we saw him search earlier. It's like packed with devil real or bullshit.
Yes. Oh, so good. But that was... I think that's the funnier answer because of the idea that it's like, well, it's all bullshit. Like, it's all just family tradition. And they were convinced, gaslit by some grandfather, that they had to do this.
Yeah, some superstitious old man from the 19th century who really believed in it. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if both endings exist.
Yeah.
Because this, they would both be great endings. I think this is the more studio version of the ending.
Yeah, it's also, I'm sure they debated it a lot, because I guarantee this is the more fun version. Because I really like the idea of them just getting hauled out in handcuffs. And that's the end. Or like the ending of The Purge is actually kind of like this, where it's like, oh, The Purge is over, and then they're just sitting there, or they're sitting waiting for it to be over. That's what it is,
right? With Oliver's shitty neighbors.
Yeah, and it's like real awkward, and so it would have been the ultimate like practical joke.
Yeah.
And I don't know why this happened. This could have been nothing to do with the movie, but when that happened in the theater I was in, two people got up and walked out when that happened in the theater. The fake out that I was in.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I'm really hoping they did that because they were disappointed. Because it's like a fun practical joke.
So they didn't stay for all the explosions?
No, they didn't. For all I know, they had an emergency, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know why they got up and walked out.
Right. You can't know what's in their hearts.
No. But yeah, what happens instead is they have the fake out and they think everything's good.
It's so fucking good. and like, I love that, like, Alex is the groom. He's like, hey, Grace, baby. He like starts to move toward her, and she's just like,
yeah.
Like, she just like,
yeah, she just makes like these primitive noises.
She just makes this like, and just pointing the knife at everybody, making these like insane animal noises.
Right.
But yeah, I laughed out loud when he like tries to move toward her, and she's just like,
yeah.
It's like, no, motherfucker, you
she's
stay there.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Very, very. That's what I like, is she's not afraid. She's pissed. She's like, you guys suck.
Yeah.
Like, you all suck.
Yeah. You're all awful.
Yeah. But instead of them getting arrested, they just start one by one exploding, which is the funniest goddamn way to do that. Because I was thinking, here was what I was predicting when I was watching this, and I'm glad this didn't happen, is that the husband would get her out of the house,
mm-hmm.
and they would get away, and the sun would rise, and they'd be like, it's over, and then they would be like a drag me to hell situation, where he would go up in flames, or demons would grab him, mm-hmm. or something like that. Like, they would still have it happen.
It is kind of that, only it's the funny version
only
of Drag
it's
Me
the,
to Hell.
Yes, it's the better version, which is that they explode like frogs with dynamite attached to them.
It's
like, they
so
just,
good.
Each one of them, it's not anatomically correct. They just pop in viscera.
Yep, they just burst.
And it's so funny, because they do it, they let each one like realize it's going to happen to them.
Yep.
And like try to bargain with this situation,
right? Like, yeah, like first the aunt explodes because she gets her axe and is running at Grace, right. And she's like, she still has to die, and then she just blows up. Then Fitch explodes,
yeah.
And then the sister's like runs out of the room with her shitty kids, and they all you hear all three of them pop, and just blood flies in from the hallway.
I feel like that was them avoiding an NC-17,
right? Just showing like, kid explode.
Yeah, we probably can't explode these children, so we'll
not
just do
screen.
It off. Yeah, off screen. They still, the blood
the
flies into the room.
The kids are explicitly shitty, though, so it's fine.
Yeah, and they also, there's no doubt about them exploding. Yeah, they're shitty at the end. They do that moment where she says, like, we all deserve to die, and one of the sisters is like, do my kids deserve to die?
But they immediately buy it back.
Like, I know.
Adam Brody's like, we all deserve to die.
Yeah.
And it's just like, but my kids don't. And then the kid wakes up and he's like, I saw that lady and I tried to shoot her with the gun I had. I shot her through the hand.
It's great
because
like,
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, because it's almost like I'm bringing up a moral question with this family, because them bringing that up, I thought like, oh, are they going to like split the difference somehow?
Mm-hmm.
No. The answer is no.
Nope.
Those kids explode.
Yep. And Henry Zerny's holding the box. He's like, no, no, I did everything right. I followed all the rules, even though we know he didn't, because he broke his own rules. And then he explodes.
And then it's down to the groom.
Yeah. He's being so shitty.
And she takes off her ring and throws it at him and says, I want a divorce. And he explodes.
Yep.
And then she gets a nod from the devil. Yes, it does. And the movie could have ended right there. With her, like, just she like spends a second where she just like breathes, wipes her face, collects herself.
Yep.
And then she looks over to the chair, and the devil briefly appears, gives her a nod, and vanishes. Oh my god. Which I love, because it's that thing where the devil's just like, yeah, I mean, she won.
Yeah, it's a nod, like, it's the kind of nod like. You're sitting at a bar, and the server comes over and is like, oh, this drink was sent to you by the gentleman over there. And you look over, and he just kind of like nods and raises his glass. Like, that's the kind of nod it is.
Yeah, it's just like good work. Good job.
It's like game recognized game.
Yeah, which is a hilarious thing to get from the devil. And and all she does is say, fuck.
I think that would be all of our reactions.
Yeah. Because that's a haunting.
All right.
What's worse than pissing off the devil is making the devil go, nice work. Good job.
I mean, I think I'd take that over any.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Any other kind of a respectful nod. Like, all right, I'm doing all right.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
She wanders outside, sits down. The house, by the way, the house is on fire.
Yes.
And she lights a cigarette while the house burns behind her.
Yep.
And what's the last line? They say, like, the paramedics come, what happened? She goes, in-laws.
In-laws. Yep.
Because they knew. They knew exactly what movie they were being.
This movie's a home run, you guys.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, this movie had 100% an unrun tomatoes. Yeah. And I think what happened is once, like, more and more critics... Because it's clearly, if you're not into gore, if you're a critic and it's just your job to go see every movie, mm-hmm. and you're not a horror fan... You're not going to give this a perfect review, because you're going to find it kind of probably upsetting.
It's not even super gory. There's a couple of moments that are gory, but for the most part, it's pretty standard.
It's one of those things that when people were reviewing it who are just like horror people,
mm-hmm.
like, because I think that's how it usually works, right? It's like it came out, probably a lot of the horror sites and stuff did reviews first.
I don't know. I know a lot of Collider people saw it like 2 weeks ago. So they just do press screenings. So it's kind of like the press at once.
Yeah. So it was sitting at 100% for a while, and I get why.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's at like an 80 something.
65 on Metacritic, and it's still considered a good score. It's Metacritic's a little more. It tends to be. More, I don't want to say harsh, but more critical than Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know how. Their metrics must be different on how
that
they
makes sense.
Judge
yeah.
things.
No, I think they take into account other things, right? Like IMDb and various.
Right. They don't pass fail. That's how Metacritic works. Like they rate each review from 0 to 100.
Right.
Like they determine that. So they don't just give it this is a positive or this is a negative, which is what Rotten Tomatoes does.
But
even then, like, so it's still got a good score on Metacritic.
Yeah, because it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's super fun. It's not, it's horror comedy. It's not, I don't think there's a moment of scariness in it. There's moments of tension.
No. Yeah.
And it's creepy. The house design, the credits, like the presentation is kind of eerie at
times.
A little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The
ritual is just upsetting, because you have this lady who's basically tied to be drawn and quartered on a pentagram and is just screaming her head off while they're chanting. So it's like, all right, that's a little upsetting.
Right.
So,
but all the creepiness is just there to juxtapose it when it's hilarious.
Right. Like I said, shitty evil.
Like shitty evil.
They're very bad at this.
Yeah, they're just bad Satanists.
Yeah, they're very bad cultists.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're just like, oh, I don't know. We weren't expecting, like, when Henry Cerny's like, none of us were expecting this to happen. Like, I have a tea time at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
What shit to do. None of them had planned on doing a ritual sacrifice that evening.
Yeah. They're not into it. And yeah, they're all pissed off about using the old weapons, except for the aunt with her axe.
That was a real funny gag is when Adam Brody's shitty wife spots Grace running across the lawn. She's like, I got you, and fires her crossbow. And it's like, she has no idea how to use this weapon.
Yeah.
So it goes like way, way, way wide and high behind her. And then you hear it hit a bird.
Yes. Oh, that was so good.
Like, why Grace not? Doesn't even notice that it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, she just keeps running.
Yep.
They do.
She just misses, like, so terribly.
Because, again, there's just that factor in this where you feel like anything can happen because nobody involved knows what they're doing.
No, they're all assholes.
It's pretty much everybody's first time.
Like when they're carrying one of the bodies, it's actually Alex's unconscious body. They're carrying him upstairs, and like we see them before they flipped a coin to see who was going to get the head and who was going to get the legs. And Henry's there, and he's like, "Okay, we're going to flip for it." Adam Brody's like, "Who gives a shit?" Just grabs his head.
Yeah, I love that they kept carrying doing him, that. Well,
They kept doing it. And the funnier thing about that scene is as they're leaving, like Henry's there, and he's like, "Oh wait, I got to get my gun." He's like, "Forget it, just get it later."
Yeah.
Like even like the dad who's supposed to be like the big wheel in this, it's just like
the idea is they're just all kind of rich waffs. So they're like they don't know what they're doing. They're not very good at anything. And that's what gives her this great fighting chance, because it's like, again, she doesn't know what she's doing either. It's all people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah,
like fighting each other. I love that they keep flipping coins to determine what part of a body they carry, which I just like that
it matters.
Yeah, but I like that idea that everything's a game. Like even this little decision is a game. I like that little character trait. It's just the dad, I think, who keeps flipping the coin. I figured.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it would come in more later, but I just like that as a detail. Also, when they shoot the maid, second maid, with the arrow, and it goes through her throat. And she falls over, and they just treat it like she died.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start having a conversation and keep
getting she's still gurgling.
Interrupted by her gurgling. That got me.
It doesn't shoot her through the throat. It shoots her through the open mouth.
Through the open mouth, right.
Yeah. This is late, because then they keep trying to have this conversation, and she keeps gurgling, so finally the aunt walks over and chops her head off with the axe.
It was like Monty Python-esque a bit.
So like, later when they're heaving the bodies into the goat pit, like Adam Brody just picks up the head by the arrow and just kind of looks at it. It's like, oh my God, this movie, you guys.
It's extremely grotesque if you haven't been able to figure this out yet.
Yeah, it's pretty foul.
It is one of the most fun movies of the year so far for me, I think.
Yeah, this was one of the most fun times I've had. Definitely recently going to the theaters, for sure.
Yeah, this is one. It's an hour and a half, hour 40, I think.
91 minutes.
Yeah, and it was one where it was like, when it ended, I was like, aw.
This could have been longer.
Yeah, this could have been longer. I would have accepted
this being longer.
But probably if it was longer, that's when we'd stray into them
really spinning their wheels. Yeah, so yeah, 90 minutes is probably the perfect length for this.
Yeah, most likely.
That really is the perfect length when something ends and you're like, aw.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
It didn't overstay its
welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't overstay its welcome. It gets in and gets out. Does what it wanted to do.
It's a lot of fun, you guys.
Yeah. Man, now I got to watch Southbound.
Yeah, you do. It's, man, I don't want to say anything about it. I got to watch it again because I only watched it once, but there's a sequence in it that I really enjoyed.
I wonder if they're going to have beef with Adam Wingard, because these two directors and Adam Wingard worked on VHS. And then Adam Wingard made You're Next, and this is essentially You're Next, only a comedy version of it.
I don't know. I mean, do I want to see them have a fist fight? Sure.
Yeah.
For the fun of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't think they're competing. I want to see, they also did Devil's Due, which was not a movie that I have thought
right,
about.
Right, it was like a found footage movie about a lady who's pregnant with the Antichrist, right?
Right, but now I probably should just see
it. I'm probably gonna have to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't know they, because I knew Southbound, and they have a bunch of little shorts and stuff before mm-hmm. that. They have nothing lined up, which is...
That's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll have something, but I hope they don't just give them a Godzilla film. I want more of this. I mean, that would be great if they're getting paid, if they do something that's big budget. That's great. Mm-hmm. But, like, clearly what makes them is their ability to have a lot of gory, crazy fun. Mm-hmm. And not have someone breathing down their neck. So yeah, I hope they keep doing this. I don't know. Everybody check this out.
Yeah, this is definitely worth watching.
Yeah, don't see Angel Has Fallen, you guys, which is, I think, doing the best this weekend.
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to see that. Go see this. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's your problem? Why are we even considering Angel Has Fallen?
Yeah. I think that's all.
I don't really have anything else to say.
That's fine.
Other than watch this, I'm definitely going to watch it again.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah, this is definitely a fun movie.
It's good. I'm glad it came out now. Hopefully, it'll be on the streams for Halloween. It's not really, again, it's not scary, but it's a good, if you're doing
it's a
any
fun Halloween movie. Yeah,
if you're marathon in horror movies, it's a good addition to that. It would be a good, like, final, like, it's a good palate cleanser if you're watching scary movies. It would be a good one to end on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fun one. This is, you're not going to be sitting there, like, looking around your dark bedroom, like, I don't know about this.
It's only gory.
Yeah. You're going to think back on the moments, like, the devil just briefly appearing to nod at the main character.
Yeah. You're going to smile.
And then chuckle to yourself as you roll over and drift peacefully to sleep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like a glass of warm milk before bed this morning.
It is. Like a mm-hmm. demonic just, glass of warm milk.
Yeah, yeah. Just a glass of warm goat's milk.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I think that's an episode. Guys, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening and lending us your ears to support this show. Dave, you want to tell them about our Patreon?
Yeah, I guess I do. Tom. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We got exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Mm. Both terrific. You should check them out.
They're so good, you guys.
Yeah, they're so good. And I'm not, you know, I'm unbiased. This is coming...
No, this is a completely objective.
Yeah, I'm not.
Opinion.
I don't listen to it. So
you got no skin in this game.
Exactly. We also have a TeePublic store, teepublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed. We got a bunch of T-shirts, posters. You could probably get a mug or two out of the sitch.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the online sitch.
We're probably going to have some more designs up there soon, Dave.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that.
Yeah, we got so many designs that we got to do.
Man. It's going to be great, you guys. Yeah. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Makes us look good.
Yeah. I mean, unless you leave a bad review. But yeah, like...
You wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that to us, right?
You wouldn't do that to us.
No.
Yeah, let's be done.
Okay. Fine.
All right.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Approving nod.
Approving nod from Satan.
Approving nod from Satan.
Got the Satan seal of approval.